There's never been an American Pope before. He was a missionary in Peru and then an archbishop there as well, seen as a very much a reformer, but an American Pope, it appears we have, Seema Gupta.
Exactly. I mean, Robert Francis Prevost, as you put it, in the American press, they refer to him as il meno americano tra gli americani, which essentially means he's the least American of the Americans. And that's because of this very international experience that he has. Whether it was in Peru, whether it was in other Latin American countries, he also is a polyglot. He speaks the right languages, Italian, French and Spanish, of course. He was born in Chicago. And yes, as you mentioned, Stuart, a moderate, a balanced figure, considered someone who has a solid judgment and keen capacity to listen. I think he is what one would call, if you're talking about the conservatives and the progressives, perhaps this is that compromise candidate. But a pope from America, it's absolutely unthinkable in the past, because the idea was you couldn't have a pope from a superpower country, because what would that say? It was just not the way to do it. But maybe exactly how the Italian press put it, he's the least American of the Americans.
I suppose he was on my second list, if you like, as a possible, yeah, but certainly not one of those favourites. I mean, maybe that plays into that old adage about you go in a pope and you come out a cardinal. I mean, his name was certainly around, but it wasn't one of the top favourites, was it?
Absolutely. And we'll have to see in terms of what he's going to be when you talk about continuity. Many say he's continuity in substance with Pope Francis, but maybe not his style. It's a very different kind of style. He's more pragmatic, if you like, more discreet is how he's been described in various reports that I've read about him. And so maybe that's the compromise candidate, if you like. And he served as the head of the Vatican's dicastery for bishops for the past 2 years. So in that sense, maybe also a known figure to some of the other cardinals, because that's part of the frustration for them. In fact, that interview with the Japanese cardinal I mentioned, he suggested maybe the cardinals should be meeting at least once every year so that we can get to know each other and we aren't in this situation where we don't know each other. But clearly, they've made that decision, and they've made the decision fairly quick. We're on the second day, it's the fourth round of voting, and they've clearly coalesced around Cardinal Prevost.
What do you think is going to be his main job now? It's unification, isn't it?
I would think so, particularly when you had this situation of Pope Francis. Some would say he did an amazing job in terms of pastoral leadership and in terms of speaking up. As one individual I spoke to in the square said to me, he spoke about what is important in Christianity. And for many faithful, that was a key issue. That said, though, I think there was a feeling that maybe he did create that division, particularly among the traditionalists. So perhaps, yes, you have someone who has a style that's a little bit different, but hey, he speaks English as a mother tongue. He was born in Chicago. It's going to be a very interesting pontificate to see how he actually deals with various issues like the financial scandals, the clerical sexual abuse scandal, but also social justice issues, migration. He had a lot of experience in Latin America. Could this be someone who'd be more willing to do and deal with the issues of migration, particularly in the United States, his home country? And also, what about cases of child sexual abuse? What is his record on that, not just in Chicago, but in Peru as well, and in other countries of Latin America? I'm sure, though, the Americans that are in that square are thrilled to bits. It's unheard of. An American I spoke to this morning said, that's never going to happen. He even mentioned Prevost to me, but he said it's unlikely. And well, I guess he's been proven wrong.
Well, sitting up here on our balcony earlier on, I was reading a piece in one of the American press about, you know, these are the potential candidates.
But, Stuart,
yeah, it's never going to happen.
Exactly. There was just this general feeling. So
Stuart,
I think some might say it's a brave move, I guess. Brave, but again, As Cardinal Fridolin Ambongo said, it's about the universal church. They have to think about the fact that the church is not just in America, it's not just elsewhere, but it is in Africa, in Asia. It is about how it is practiced everywhere. It's going to be interesting to hear what the US President Donald Trump says in reaction to this. He was pushing, we heard him mentioned, particularly the Cardinal from New York, Timothy Dolan, as his preference, but this wasn't quite that, but it is an American.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's the thoughts of our correspondent here in Rome, Seema Gupta. Francois.
Pope Leo XIV has been elected by the College of Cardinals, the first American pope born in Chicago. We can go to Chicago. And Father Stan Chu Ilo, professor at DePaul University, your reaction, sir. Thank you for speaking with us here on France 24.
Thank you very much. It's a surprise for us. What a joy for Cardinal is well loved, well liked here in Chicago, but he is a man of outstanding quality talent. Even though he was born and grew up here, spent most of his life serving the world, especially in Latin America. He is a global citizen. He is someone that was very close to Pope Francis. Pope Francis brought him from Peru to the Vatican to help with the selection of the world bishop. So he's an outstanding, down-to-earth, kind, brilliant, and I think he's for the world.
Born in Chicago, will he please the faithful in your native Nigeria?
Definitely. He worked in Peru. He was a bishop for the Mark. And interestingly, in 2023, when we completed the assignment of doing theology from the existential periphery of Pope Francis, he was a key figure in making sure that that report was presented to the Pope. So he was part of that. He was part of the bishop that we are consulted. He was part of the bishop that actually promoted doing theology from the existential periphery. And he was part of the synod on. And I think that he is a very outstanding human being. He cares about the poor. He cares about.
And we are going to see him appear soon on the balcony. Are you surprised?
Yep. Right.
Stan Chu Ilo, I'm going to interrupt because we're watching the live images. I don't know if you can see them, but there is the 69-year-old Leo the 14th, as he is now known, appearing for the first time as Pope on the balcony. Let's listen.
La pace sia con tutti voi. Fratelli, sorelle carissimi, questo è il primo saluto del Cristo risorto, il buon pastore che ha dato la vita per il gregge di Dio. Anch'io vorrei che questo saluto di pace entrasse nel vostro cuore, raggiungesse le vostre famiglie, a tutte le persone, ovunque siano, a tutti i popoli, a tutta la terra. La pace sia con voi.
Peace be upon you, the first words of Pope Leo XIV.
Questa è la pace di Cristo risorto, una pace disarmata e una pace disarmante, umile e perseverante. Proviene da Dio, Dio che ci ama a tutti incondizionalmente. Ancora conserviamo nei nostri orecchi quella voce debole ma sempre coraggiosa di Papa Francesco, che benediva Roma. Il Papa che benediva Roma dava la sua benedizione al mondo intero, quella mattina del giorno di Pasqua. Consentitemi di dar seguito a quella stessa benedizione. Dio ci vuole bene, Dio vi ama tutti e il male non prevarrà. Siamo tutti nelle mani di Dio. Pertanto, senza paura,
God loves you and
uniti,
God loves everyone,
mano nella mano con
and the
Dio
evil will not succeed. We are all in the hands of God.
Siamo discepoli di Cristo.
For all of us, without fear, united, hand in hand with God, among us, let's go forward together. He also mentioned Pope Francis.
Il ponte per essere raggiunta da Dio e dal suo amore.
The world needs Christ's light.
Voi, poi gli uni gli altri a costruire i ponti con il dialogo, con l'incontro.
We need him as a bridge to reach the light and help all of us
in pace. Grazie a Papa Francesco.
To create bridges with dialogue, with meetings. To be one people, always in peace. Thank you to Pope Francis. So clearly the continuity there, but talking about Pope Francis. I would like to thank all the cardinals that chose me to be the successor of Peter the Apostle,
fedeli a Gesù Cristo, senza paura, per proclamare il Vangelo, per essere
always searching for peace and justice, and always to work together as men and women who are faithful to Jesus Christ, without fear, to proclaim the
un figlio di Sant'Agostino,
and to be missionaries.
Agostiniano. Che ha detto, con voi sono cristiano e per voi vescovo.
I am a son of Saint Augustine.
Possiamo tutti camminare insieme verso quella patria che la quale Dio ci ha preparato.
He's also the bishop, and we will walk together towards that.
Di Roma. Un saluto speciale.
the land that God has prepared for us. And we can see that the crowd is quite moved by his words, especially the faithful and the clergy. And to Rome, a special greeting. Clearly, there's a loud cheer at that point, because he is the Bishop of Rome, of course.
Come questa piazza con le braccia aperte a tutti, tutti coloro che hanno bisogno.
We must work together to create a church that is open to receiving everybody, that is about dialogue and building bridges. For everyone that needs our help and our charity and our presence and our dialogue and our love. He's speaking in Spanish now. He's quite the linguist.
I'm glad you can tell.
Donde un pueblo fiel ha accompagnato a suo obispo
ha a greeting, I guess, to Peru, because of course he spent many years there.
Yeah, he was a missionary there, wasn't he?
Yes.
A tutti voi, fratelli e sorelle di Roma, d'Italia, di tutto il mondo. Vogliamo essere una chiesa sinodale, una chiesa che cammina, una chiesa
che cerca sempre la pace. To all of you, brothers and sisters, of Rome, of Italy, and of all the world,
cerca sempre di essere vicino, specialmente a coloro
che soffrono. We want to be a synodal church, a church that walks and a church that searches for peace and searches for charity. And a church that is close particularly to those that are suffering.
Alla Madonna di Pompei. Nostra Madre Maria vuole sempre camminare con noi, stare vicino, aiutarci con la sua intercessione, il suo amore.
An important day in the Catholic Church, that is today.
Allora vorrei pregare insieme a voi. Preghiamo insieme per questa nuova missione. Però per tutta la Chiesa, per la
the
pace
intercession
nel
of
mondo.
Mary.
E chiediamo questa grazia speciale di Maria,
asking the crowd to pray with
nostra
him,
madre.
And to pray for this new
Ave
mission,
Maria,
and for all the Church,
grazia,
and for peace in the world.
Con te. Tu sei benedetta fra le donne, e benedetto
and call
il
for the grace from Mary.
Seno, Gesù. Santa Maria, Madre di Dio, prega per
and
noi
now there's
peccatori.
A prayer.
Adesso e nell'ora della nostra morte. Amen.
And of course, the crowd is cheering, and we can hear that as well from the square, even though we're up here. It's estimated at least 100,000, but people continue to come into the square, rushing there to see their first images of the new pontiff.
Leone, a tutti i fedeli presenti e a quelli che ricevono la sua benedizione a mezzo della radio, della televisione, e delle altre tecnologie di comunicazione, concede l'indulgenza plenaria nella forma stabilita dalla Chiesa. Preghiamo Dio Onnipotente perché conservi a lungo.
This is a Vatican official who is now saying that he has blessed everybody in the square, but also those that are watching this on television and other devices.
They are amazing images, aren't they, Seema? It sort of does send that shiver down your spine, hearing him speaking for the first time while he was speaking.
Absolutely.
Confidimus. Ipsi intercedat pro nobis ad Dominum. Amen. Precibus et meritis Beate Mariae Semper Virginis, Beati Michaelis Arcangeli, Beati Ioannis Baptiste, et Sanctorum Apostolorum Petri, et Pauli, et Omnium Sanctorum. Misereatur vestri omnipotens Deus, et dimissis omnibus peccatis vestris, perducat vos Iesus Christus ad vitam aeternam.
Amen.
Indulgentiam, absolutionem et remissionem omnium peccatorum vestrorum, spatium vere et fructuose penitentiae, cor semper penitens, et emendationem vitae.
In Latin, gratiam, a blessing in
et
Latin,
consolationem Sancti Spiritus, et finalem perseverantiam in bonis operibus tribuat vobis, omnipotens et misericors Dominus. Amen.
And just watching those images of the people listening very carefully as the new Pope gives that blessing to them in St. Peter's Square behind us. Another big cheer. A huge cheer behind us in the square below. Obviously, a lot of delight and enthusiasm, Seema.
Absolutely. That's what they're there for. This is what they wanted, the blessing and also the image of the new pontiff.
And those different nationality flags that we've talked about before, people hoping perhaps that their nation would be represented amongst the papers. Here, there's I can see an American flag amongst the crowd there. But people are still waving the other ones very enthusiastically, even if it's not the right flag for the right Pope.
Yes, exactly, because also Prevost has, in terms of the roots that he comes from, there's Italian, French, Spanish as well. So maybe they want to claim a part of him, that he is the new pontiff. Obviously, the people in Peru are going to be very excited about this as well, because he spent many, many years as a missionary in that part of the world, and also because he spoke to them in Spanish, in their language. That is obviously going to play very well for that community there. But clearly, for many people, maybe this was an unexpected choice. The fact that he's an American, they wouldn't have predicted that, because as many say, it couldn't possibly be an American pope. But look, the least American of the Americans was picked. He has quite an international experience. I think that was the case for a few of these candidates, these compromise candidates, and also someone who's moderate, a continuation of Pope Francis, definitely, because he even referred to him at many points during this first appearance up there in the balcony at St. Peter's Basilica.
Yeah, we talked a little bit earlier on, didn't we, about the name that is chosen. We have Leo the 14th, and you said to me, first thing to do, as soon as we hear it's Leo the 14th, who was Leo the 13th? We found out a little bit about who Leo the 13th was, haven't we?
Yes, from what I understand, he was someone who spoke up for the rights of workers, and he was also the last pope that was buried outside of St. Peter's, since Pope Francis, of course. Yeah. So a very interesting choice in terms of his policies and the way he looked at things. We'll have to look at it a little bit clearer and deeper to understand really the message. But the message really was about peace for the entire world, but also mentioning Pope Francis, thanking the cardinals as well who chose him.
I mean, it is going to be, it does seem as though he is very much somebody who's likely anyway to carry on most of the work Pope Francis has done. But at the same time, he's going to want to put his own stamp on it as well, isn't he?
Yes, he will, I'm sure. We saw him now just now waving to the crowd before he's turning back to go inside. We clearly have a new pontiff, and the question is, what is he going to be like? The other question, as I mentioned earlier, is he going to be living in that apostolic palace, papal apartment, or is he going to be at the Casa Santa Marta?
It's difficult, because if he goes back out of the Casa Santa Marta, then it does show in a way, perhaps some people will see that as a bad sign.
Yes, I think there's a, you know, in the fact that Pope Francis chose not to live there, I think that has sort of perhaps set a precedent. Cardinal Prevost, who's now Pope Leo XIV, he will have to make that decision. He is the one officially in charge of the church, leading 1.4 billion Catholics around the world, but leading the Vatican behind me as well, the smallest, one of the smallest states in the world, but really dealing with things all around the world. So various issues, the financial scandals, running the money, if you like, and where it's going to, but also the clerical sexual abuse scandal that has hit the church in Italy, but around the world. And so how will he address that? Will we see a continuity? He talked about continuing with the synodal aspect, and that was something that Pope Francis focused very much upon, which is that the cardinals, the bishops, would come together to discuss key issues that are facing the church. We saw two big synods with Pope Francis. He, in fact, while he was still in hospital, actually said he wants that process to continue. And it seems, at least from his speech, we'll have to see what he decides, that he wants to continue in that path as well.
Well, as you can see and hear now, Francois, the bells once again chiming out from St. Peter's behind me, the sun setting as well over the rooftops of the Vatican. It really is a beautiful evening here in Rome. And now the Catholic faith has its new head.
Yeah, a new head who spoke Italian, and we heard him with an American accent, Leo the 14th, as he is now known. A native of Chicago, saying he seeks that he will fight for a church that, quote, seeks peace and a charity. And we are in his native city with Stan Chu Ilo, professor at DePaul University. We also heard in that speech the words in Spanish for the and a shout out, if you will, to the Diocese of Chiclayo in Peru. Your reactions to what you have just heard, the first speech from the balcony of the new Pope?
Yeah, Pope Leo the 14th, you can see, is deeply moved by the enormity of this responsibility. He is deeply moved. I can see that. Everyone can see. But he's a calm man, very modest, and the way he related with the people, you can see someone who is interested in connecting with the people. Secondly is the message of peace. The Pope, the word pontiff, is a bridge builder. And the fact that he chose the name Leo the 14th is very significant. Leo the 13th was not just a Pope who spoke about the rights of workers and inaugurated Catholic social teaching today. He was also a Pope who stood against and worked hard to bring an end to transatlantic slavery. He was also a Pope, we must note, who advanced strongly scholastic thinking that built Catholicism on the foundation of Thomism. And Pope Leo the 14th is an Augustinian, so it will be interesting to see how these two lungs, with which in the Catholic Church as well as in the Protestant churches, we can see Augustinian thinking, more of intellectual approach, but also more of the experiential. Augustine, the one who was a sinner, who was an unbeliever, but eventually was converted. That process of conversion, and Thomas, who sought to engage Christian thought with Muslim thinking, and who embraced what we are called today secular thinking and borrowed from it in order to build the Christian philosophical and theological tradition. And Leo was also a Pope at a period of transition in the late 19th century. It was a period of war, a period of nationalism, a period of coup de camp in Germany. So it's very interesting that he decides to capture his papacy through identifying with what Pope Leo represented: freedom for slaves, freedom and dignity for workers, a renewed deepening of Catholic intellectual tradition, and a renewed interest in democracy and liberal governance. So, right, it is quite interesting.
So very much in the tradition, you could say, of his predecessor, Father Stan Chuilo. So many thanks for being with us from the native city of the new Pope, Leo XIV. And for those explanations, the church bells are ringing in the Vatican Square. And there is joy in after that first appearance on the balcony. We can cross to Washington, D.C., a first American Pope. Correspondent Fraser Jackson is there. I imagine we, and I know we've already seen reactions where you are.
Yeah, well, there's been a long-held belief for quite a long time that America holds too much power and that an American, therefore, shouldn't hold the papacy. Well, now the College of Cardinals has elected the world's first American Pope, 69-year-old Robert Prevost, now known, of course, as Pope Leo XIV, the leader of 1.4 billion Catholics. We're likely to see some celebrations in Chicago today. He was, of course, born in Chicago to a devout Catholic family. He was ordained in 1982 in Rome, spent 14 years of his career in the Windy City. He also, of course, though, spent a lot of time outside of the U.S. A third of his life was in Peru, where he worked as a missionary and gained much experience before going back to Peru in 2014, having been appointed by Pope Francis, who had a very good opinion and high opinion of him as well. He spent about a third of his life in Italy and therefore was not really necessarily seen as a fully American by the other cardinals. But one person who definitely is now seeing him as an American is, of course, the President Donald Trump. He took to Truth Social moments after the announcement was made and said, "Congratulations to Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost, who was just named Pope. It is such an honor to realize that he is the first American Pope. What excitement and what a great honor for our country. I look forward to meeting Pope Leo XIV. It will be a very meaningful moment." But of course, he's also had his run-ins, the new Pope, with the administration so far. He took to Twitter a few weeks ago to denounce something that J.D. Vance said about Jesus asking us to rank our love for others. He said that J.D. Vance is wrong and even put it in one of his Vatican newsletters. So somebody who has already had some run-ins with the administration, but somebody who is a mediator and will be likely to try to oversee the difficult moment that the world is going through at the moment as a mediator.
Fraser Jackson reporting live there from Washington. Many thanks. We're going to go not very far from where you are to Richmond, Virginia. Andrew Chestnut is chair in Catholic Studies at Virginia Commonwealth University. Thank you for being with us here on France 24. A first American Pope. Didn't speak English, but he spoke Italian with an American accent, and then Spanish, a nod to his days in Peru. Your reaction?
Yeah, I, like all the major papal pundits, did not see this coming. My bets were on Philippine Cardinal Tagle. The odds makers didn't even have Prevost, you know, in the top 10. So I think we're all very surprised by this. Very interesting, you know, his connection with Peru. You know, while the future of the church might be in Africa and Asia, the present is very much here in the Americas. 50% of all the 1.4 billion Catholics live here in the Americas, from Canada down to Argentina. And during Pope Francis's 12-year papacy, the Catholic Church continued to lose millions of members, particularly in Latin America. So while there is great continuity, I think, with the new Pope's emphasis on social justice, you know, obviously he chose his name because of the great Pope Leo XIII, who is known for his advocacy of social justice and workers' rights. I think in difference, we'll probably see a greater emphasis on evangelization and missionary. particularly because he was a missionary in Chiclayo, Peru, for over a decade. So I think great continuity with the emphasis on the marginalized and preferential option for the poor, but a greater emphasis on evangelization.
And Andrew, more conservative pushback against Francis came from the church in the United States, of course, not from Cardinal Provost, but from other cardinals who are more conservative. Is it fair to say that he may get some of his stiffest opposition from his compatriots?
I think that is fair to say, and I think this is also a very interesting selection in that, as you point out, I mean, the bastion and bulwark of conservative opposition to Francis' papacy was here in the United States, and our new pope is definitely more liberal than the majority of his confreres, his fellow bishops, cardinals here in the United States. So interesting also, of course, you know, the previous commentator mentioned J.D. Vance and the whole conservative Republican aligned with J.D. Vance and also President Trump are very much aligned with the more conservative bishops in the U.S. So this is a very interesting choice in that, you know, he is much more liberal than the average American Catholic bishop.
Andrew, it's Doug Herbert here in Paris. Just curious, you know, one of the big issues we keep talking about is this, you know, the much vaunted polarization in the Catholic Church between the progressives and the traditionalists. And we know that, you know, the fact that this new pope was not just seen as, but was close to Francis, who cracked down on a lot of those traditionalists. Do you think he's starting out his papacy on a challenging, I'll use a more neutral term, a challenging footing?
Yeah. I mean, again, given the calculus of the American church, no doubt, and given who's president of the United States, for sure. But I think, you know, at the same time, you know, Pope Francis was very much beloved and was very popular by the great majority of American Catholics, maybe less so than by many American bishops. So I think, you know, he's going to start off with great support from the average Catholic layperson here in the United States and you know, across the hemisphere as well.
Can I just one quick follow-up, though? You know, along with that issue, the role of women in the church has become a bigger and bigger issue. And one of the things that the new pope is on the record for is opposing the ordination of women as deacons. And I'm just curious, you know, at a time, is this a position that potentially will, if not cause controversy, perhaps be a point of friction going ahead, especially at a time when women in the church are demanding, women are demanding greater roles? We've seen the number of nuns falling in the past 5 to 10, 20 years. Is this going to be a big issue?
Yeah, I think if he doesn't change course and moderate on that, it will be a big issue, but particularly in the United States and Europe. This is not a hot button issue in the global South. Asia, Africa, and Latin America, where two-thirds of the 1.4 billion Catholics reside. So it's mostly a Western issue. But yeah, it will continue to be an issue if he does not modify his position.
We're in the studio with Douglas Herbert, but also with historian Ludmila Akone. Your specialty is Italy. It's a universal church, and we heard the new pope say so. But of course, we're looking at pictures from St. Peter's Square. We heard the Italian national anthem earlier shortly after Pope Leo XIV left the balcony. How are Italians going to receive this news of a pope who speaks with an American accent?
I think it's a very good surprise. They've used to have popes speaking not perfectly Italian. First Polish Pope, and after Bergoglio, his Italian was quite good, but not perfect enough. Anyway, I think it's a very, very big change, because for the first time you have an American Pope of the North. First you had Bergoglio,
Pope Francis,
South America, and now North America. It's a very, very big change. I think they want to give a change in an international way to see church. And I see that the name he chose, this new Pope, it's the Leo XIV after 13. So it's a Pope who was in charge of, he did the social changing in a church, you know, the Rerum Novarum.
Yeah, he fought for workers' rights, he opposed slavery.
Yes, it's a very, very big change. In 1891, Leo XIII did this encyclic, Rerum Novarum.
For continued discussion, sure.
Go ahead.
So, and it's a social doctrine of the church. It's the first time, because it's in the same time in which you have industrialization very fast and worker situation very, very hard, and the church decided to change and to take a look of this change in the society. And when you think that Pope Francis was very, very open to people, to poor people, for example, and to migrants, you know, so we can think maybe it's a sort of way to continue to look in all the society and down in the society.
Andrew Chestnut, just very briefly, Pope Francis, the first Jesuit pope, the Leo XIV, an Augustinian. What does that change?
Yes, it's a change.
Andrew Chestnut, go ahead.
Yeah. I don't think just because he's Augustinian means there's going to be a lot of change. In fact, I see much continuity here. Again, the fact that he chose his name for a pope who was known as a social reformer. So I think pretty much on all fronts, he's going to continue the progressive social agenda of his predecessor, Pope Francis. But again, accelerating, I think, you know, one of the major failures of Pope Francis was on the front of evangelization. So I think we'll probably see new emphasis on evangelization, and particularly here in our Americas.
All right, Andrew.